Happy Friday, and welcome into this Weekender edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And I hope you're looking forward to the weekend, that all is well with you and yours, and that you're staying above the flood line, so to speak. Good to have you along today. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. Let's see here. This is not what I wanted to do. All right. I'm multitasking, and one of the multitasks is taking over all the rest of my brain. So let's go a different direction. Oh, there we go. That's what I wanted to do. Bing. All right. Now, it is the Friday edition of the podcast. We have a handful of things to talk about. Never enough time to talk about everything. And the insanity just gets deeper. Nancy Pelosi is talking about, yeah, tipsy Aunt Nancy, that lady. She's talking about invoking the 25th Amendment. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. There's there was this ginormous sign on the side of the 405 in LA, and authorities went and ripped it down. We'll talk about that later and why that's important. And what else is it? There's a lot of stuff to talk about, and I have things on my list that I'd like to get into, but it's just not going to happen. There's just not going to be enough time, but we'll see how much we can jam into this 50 or so minutes we have in between the breaks. How's that? Okay. Let's see. Catching up on things. Yesterday, I told you that Princess Shaggy Feet, the Kimber Wonder Dog, has had a vet visit, and we did that yesterday. And bless her little heart, we go to the vet, we take her to the vet, and she just shakes like crazy. She's so scared. And afterwards, she's very happy. And one of the reasons yesterday she was happy is because they gave her an injection of painkillers. And she was actually kind of funny. They took her out to examine her to make sure that she didn't have any bone fractures or anything like that, because she's been limping, and she's been she's been yelping when you touch her certain ways, and she's just been in a lot of pain, and we had to find out what was going on. And it turns out, and this is odd now, it turns out that one of her claws on one of her front feet was cracked. And if you're not a dog owner, specifically an indoor dog owner, then you don't understand what it means to clip your dog's claws. And if you've people who have small dogs, you understand this. From time to time, you have to trim their claws. You just have to, because if you don't, then they curl under, and they actually live in a great deal of pain when they're walking, because their toes are all turned cockeyed. And so when you clip their claws, you have to be very careful about how far up you clip them, because if you clip them up too far, there's actually a vein, a blood vein in the claws. And if you clip that far back into it, there's also nerves associated with that blood vein. And you clip into those nerves, and it's extremely painful for the pup. So you just have to be very, very careful. Well, she had a cracked claw. One of the claws on one of her front feet had somehow been cracked, and it was causing her a lot of pain. Imagine the toenail, the big toe of one of your feet. Somehow you stubbed it really hard and you cracked that toenail, and it split way back up into your toe, onto your toenail, back into the quick. Imagine how much that would hurt and how walking would be once that happened. You would probably require some sort of pain medication, in addition to antibiotics and things like that. And that's exactly what she's on now. So that's what's happened to her. And so they gave her this shot yesterday, and they brought her back to me, and her mouth's hanging open. Her tongue's hanging out the side of her mouth. She's, and she is just, she's gone. She's loopy. It was really funny. Anyway, she's on a little regimen of antibiotics and pain meds. And they said if anything looks bad by Monday, bring her back. And so far, she seems to be quite happy. Everything seems to be okay. She seems to be mostly back to normal. You can tell she's a little tender, but she's all right. Anyway, that's the update on Princess Kimber, the Wonder Dog. Isn't that right, kid? Yeah? She's over here in her chair. And the reason we call her Princess is because everything revolves around her. If she is in your lap, she demands 100% of your attention. You must be petting her. You must be scratching behind her ears. She sits up on her haunches and raises her feet up. She says, please scratch. You scratch my chest. Oh, that's it. So it's all about her. I think she's part cat. Anyway, she's doing great. And if anything changes, I'll let you know. All right, then. Where else do you get content like this? I ask you, where else? Nowhere. That's where. I'm telling you. It's crazy.
Human sacrifice, yeah. Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
That's the Friday edition of the podcast. Well, I was mentioning a little earlier the big sign in California. It's on the side of the highway. Some Trump supporters made headlines earlier in the week. They erected this giant white-lettered Trump sign. It looks a lot like that Hollywood sign that's on the Hollywood hillsides. And they did it near the California 405 in the hills of Sepulveda Pass. It was a massive sign. I say was because they took it down. The massive Trump sign garnered a viral load of feedback on social media, supporters and detractors alike having their say. But according to the LA Times, even though the sign was placed on private property, the state decided they had the authority to enter that private property in order to lay that sign down. Why would they trample on the First Amendment, you might ask? Their excuse? Predictable and weak. Chief Public Information Officer for the California Department of Transportation, Lauren Wonder. Yes, Wonder. W-N-D-E-R. W-O-N-D-E-R. Wonder. She told the press that the large white Trump sign was a safety issue. Quote, this was a life and safety issue because there were concerns about distracted driving. Well, this sparked another social media firestorm. Many Trump supporters and supporters of free speech slammed Caltrans for entering private property and taking down the sign. Some even suggested that the anonymous sign erector should have put it in the middle of the highway and called it a peaceful protest. You see, they won't do anything about the BLM twerps getting in the middle of the highway, the Antifa idiots getting out of the middle of the highway and stopping traffic. They won't do anything about that. But they'll go off the highway, onto private property, on a hillside, and take down a sign on private property put up by private citizens. That is just nuts. Another Twitter user raised the question, asking if state authorities would have been so quick to call the sign a visual distraction if it had been a large Biden sign instead. That's also a good question. Another question is, what if the sign said BLM or Black Lives Matter? Would California authorities have rushed in to remove it from private property so quickly? You already know the answer to that is no way. Wouldn't have happened. If it had been a gigantic sign on the side of the freeway that said Black Lives Matter, it would still be there right now. If it had been a big sign that said Joe Biden for president, it would still be there right now. But here's another thing. The most obvious and real visual distraction for drivers in the entire country is the giant Hollywood sign itself. I have been to Hollywood. I've been to Los Angeles. I have driven around and I have rubbernecked myself looking at that sign. There are tourists on the highway, around the highways, around L.A. right now. Well, not right now because it's dark right now. Actually, they could be because it's lit. but they're looking at that sign. There are, I got to tell you this. This may not interest anybody who lives there because you know this, but if you don't live there and you haven't visited, you don't know that in Hollywood, there are actually places that are designed around viewing that sign. One, there's a shopping area. It's on a set of there's a set of stairs that runs up a hillside, and there's a shopping area. There's a parking deck beneath it, and all this. But and we parked there when we visited several years ago. But there's a place there with a set of stairs and a patio, and above that is a place you can climb more stairs to, and there's a viewing area. Like a breezeway up above that, where you can stand at the railing and look off into the distance into the Hollywood Hills and see the sign. The sign is iconic. It is there for a purpose. They leave it there because it promotes the area. And it's so well known that people will spend part of their vacation time, part of their day when they go to Hollywood, just finding the best spot to take photos of that sign. It's so iconic that if you visit, I don't know if it's still there, but when I visited Universal Studios Hollywood, there was a place at Universal Studios Hollywood where you could stand and have your picture made with the Hollywood sign in the background. But it was fake. It was set up to look like you were standing at the guardrail of a freeway, because there's a metal guardrail that you stand back against, and back behind you is it's a wall with an image of the hillside with a Hollywood sign on it, and they take your picture, and it looks like you're standing by the guardrail on a highway with a Hollywood sign in the background. That is how iconic this sign is, and it is a distraction for people visiting L.A. every day. That first impression, people will find themselves staring into the distance and seeing that sign and not really paying as much attention to L.A. traffic as they should. And let me tell you something. This little country boy has driven in L.A. traffic. It's not a breeze. It's not fun. It does require a pretty good amount of attention. It's like, it's busy all the time. I mean, all the time. The Hollywood sign. Now, if the sign had been on government property, this wouldn't even be a story. Not an issue. Nope, can't put it there. Take it down. The fact that California transportation authorities actually stepped onto private property to rip down this sign depicting the name of the United States president is just standard procedure for the leftists in local and state governments who completely ignore constitutional rights in order to silence and censor any signal of support for President Trump. This is what is going on in the state of California. The government of the state of California is destroying this beautiful part of our country. If you've never been to California, it is a beautiful state. Well, L.A. and Hollywood are not so much anymore because of what they have allowed to happen to those areas. It's actually kind of dangerous to be there. It's not a good place to be. When we were there all those years ago, we were told in Hollywood, don't go past this intersection and don't go past that intersection. Because once you cross those streets, you're kind of on your own. It gets really rough. Right outside the tourist area, you know, where the Chinese theater is, and yeah, the Hollywood Walk of Fame, where that's where people recognize it being. It's really all over the place in Hollywood. But if you're there looking at the Hollywood stars on the sidewalk and you're looking at the Chinese theater, don't go beyond certain intersections there. It was rough then. I imagine it's even more now. The place is falling apart. Conservatives need to clean house in California. Come on. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Wrapping up the week with the Friday edition. Oh, yeah. Hey, we had that one absurd story from California. You mind if we kind of follow up with something else? Doesn't matter. It's my podcast. I'm going to do it anyway. And the reason it's absurd is because, according to the left, according to Democrats, it's about something that doesn't exist. Okay? It's about something that... Oh, it's the chupacabra. It's Sasquatch. It's UFOs. You can't take it seriously. Oh, come on. There's no evidence of this happening. It's vote fraud. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, vote fraud. A mayoral candidate of a small town in Texas has been charged with 109 felonies over a fraudulent scheme involving mail-in ballots. But this is, it's just a small town, really. If it's happening here, could it also be happening elsewhere? Zul Mirza Mohammed, this is the guy's name. He was arrested yesterday and charged with 25 second-degree felony counts of unlawful possession of ballot or a ballot envelope without the request of a voter, and 84 third-degree felony counts of fraudulent use of mail ballot application. Sheriff Tracy Murphy of the Denton County Sheriff's Office in Texas said in a press release that they were tipped off about possible fraudulent activities with absentee ballot applications by the Denton County Elections Office. They found that absentee ballots were requested to be sent to a post office box by voters in a Carrollton nursing home. Carrollton is just outside of Dallas. It's a suburb, so to speak. It's a small, it's a bedroom community outside of Dallas. I know, I've been there. When they contacted these voters, they said that they had not requested absentee ballots. Investigators then found that the post office box had been obtained through the use of a false Texas driver's license and a false student ID card from the University of North Texas. Then they surveilled the P.O. box and installed an undercover agent. How do you install an undercover agent? Is a wrench involved? The investigators witnessed a suspect pick up the ballots on Wednesday and obtained a search warrant for their residence. Law enforcement officials there discovered the mail ballots and the fraudulent driver's license used to obtain the post office box. They arrested Mohammed and charged him with the 109 felony counts. Sheriff Murphy says, "I want to commend all the investigators and agencies involved in this investigation. Voter fraud is a serious and widespread issue and cannot be tolerated. The fact that an actual candidate for public office would engage in these activities is appalling. We will continue to aggressively investigate allegations of voter fraud." Mohammed was running to unseat the current mayor, Kevin Falconer, of Carrollton. It was unclear to which political party Mohammed belonged. Really? He ran against Falconer in 2017 as well, during which his past criminal behavior became an issue in the campaign. He received 167 votes in that election, 2.4% of the total votes. His political affiliation is unclear. Oh, God love you. You tried. You really tried. Oh, man. So you may be thinking, well, so what? That's a little bitty town outside of Dallas, Texas. What's the so what? The so what is that this is just proof. It's evidence that this kind of activity is going on. And this loser got the idea from somewhere. He figured out how to get it done, figured out how to do it. The fact that he was breaking the law didn't bother him in the least. It didn't faze him at all that he was doing something that was a federal crime. It didn't matter. What mattered to him was winning. And there is the center of everything. What matters to the Democrats is winning. They don't care what it takes. They just care about winning, getting that power, getting that control. Because, as I've told you so many times, They deeply believe that they are both intellectually and morally superior to everyone but their little gaggle, their class of people, the progressives. And because everything is on the table when it comes to achieving their goals, and because they believe they are smarter than everybody else and they care more than everybody else, that they are on a higher plane than the unwashed masses, it doesn't matter what they do to obtain their goals. So they will commit vote fraud in order to win elections. This moral relativism is what drives what they do. It's all relative. It all matters to their final goal, and whatever it takes is what they'll do. They rationalize everything that way. There is no moral compass. Remember I shared the Dennis Prager story with you, was it a week before last? There is no moral compass. They don't have one. Everything is situational. Everything is situational. They don't have a moral compass. You cannot think like these people if you do. And what they do doesn't make sense. And so we have to protect ourselves. We have to do what it takes to make sure that this presidential election is not taken, stolen from us by people who have no moral compass. And the president has advised that we go ahead and do our and vote in advance. Go ahead and go through with the program. Vote in advance. Request an absentee ballot. Vote. And then, on top of that, to ensure that you have been counted, your vote has been counted, show up at your polling place on voting day. And when you are scanned in, when they check the rolls, they'll know whether or not your vote has been counted. If it has not, then vote. The system will kick out the extra vote. You're not committing a crime. You're utilizing the system the way it was designed. If your vote has already been tabulated, your absentee ballot's been tabulated, it will show up. They'll say, "We show that you've already voted." And you can smile at them and say, "Thank you. I was just here to make sure my vote counted." And then leave. Because you have done nothing wrong. This is something you should do. In fact, the president said this a little while back, and he's talked about this many, many times. He's talked about vote fraud, and the integrity of the vote. And here's a bit of audio.
Send it in early, and then go and vote. And if it's not tabulated, you vote, and the vote is going to count. You can't let them take your vote away.
The principle of one citizen, one vote. Every time voter fraud occurs, it cancels out the vote of a lawful citizen and undermines democracy.
There are a lot of people... A lot of people, my opinion, and based on proof, that try and get in illegally and actually vote illegally. So we just want to let them know that there will be prosecutions at the highest level.
Any form of election fraud, I condemn.
If you told a Republican to vote twice, they'd get sick at even the thought of it.
We believe in the sacred principle of one person, one vote, and that's why we are fighting for the integrity of our elections.
We want people to vote, so when they vote, it means one vote. It doesn't mean ballots all over the place. I just want an accurate vote.
And that's what we all want, an accurate vote. And that's not going to happen if we allow the Democrats to steal this election, which is what they're working so hard on doing, which is what this mail-in voting is all about. The Democrats know that mail-in voting is a prime opportunity to cheat. We're watching them day by day try to change the rules in an ongoing game, so to speak, because they can't win playing by the rules. So they want to change the rules so that they can win. That's where the court packing thing comes from. That's where all of this comes from. They realize, they know, they can't get to the power they want using the system that is in place. So they want to change the system. You and I both know that this is not the way rational, reasonable, honest people behave. You and I both know this. We were raised to play fair. We were raised not to cheat. We were raised to abide by the rules. That's why we're wearing masks right now, even though we don't want to. Because we know there are rules. We don't agree with them. We don't like them. But we also recognize that there are rules. That private businesses can tell you what to do and what not to do on their property. And so we will abide by their rules because that's the way we were raised. Progressive politicians, on the other hand, see themselves as above the rules and not subject to the same rules. And it really chaps their backsides that they have to obey them. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hey, as usual during the break, I'm scanning through social media. I'm also sipping coffee and munching a cookie, but that's another story. And my friends over at the Proof blog posted something on Facebook almost an hour ago. And it's a very accurate thing, and I want to share it with you just really quick. It won't take but a minute. The Washington Post has posted to social media saying, Republicans continue attacking Biden and Harris over hypothetical court packing question. Well, first, let me say, it's not hypothetical. They are talking about it, and Chuck Schumer has said he would love to change the composition of the court. So it's something they are seriously talking about. It's not a hypothetical. But JW over at the Proof blog says, a presidential nominee, Joe Biden, is refusing to answer a constitutional question about packing the courts if ACB, Amy Coney Barrett, is confirmed to this Supreme Court of the United States. Instead of journalists pressing for an answer and doing their jobs, the story here is that the Republicans attack. See, this is what the mainstream media does. If Republicans do something wrong, then the story is all about how they did something wrong. But when Democrats do something wrong, the story isn't about what they did wrong. It's about how the big, bad, evil Republicans pounce or attack. Joe Biden stated that the American people will find out about his position on court packing after the election. Imagine a Republican candidate trying to get away with telling the American people that we'll find out about his position on Roe v. Wade after the election. Would that fly? This is a constitutional question that Biden is refusing to answer. I can only assume that he is in favor of packing the court. And I would say, yeah, you're right. That assumption is not really just an assumption. It's an educated guess. But here's the thing. The mainstream media is helping Joe Biden by painting him as a victim. Here we go again. This is progressivism 101. Victimhood is vital. It's vital. Without victimhood, there is no progressivism. There is no Democrat Party without victims. There is no Democratic political movement without a victim class. It can't happen. This is the heart and soul of Democrat philosophy. There has to be a victim, because they, the Democrats, the progressives, must be the hero. And you can't be a hero unless there are victims. This is the core of their philosophy. So Joe Biden is now being painted as the poor, innocent victim of attacks by those nasty old Republicans because he won't answer a question. Well, the rest of us who have brains, operating, functioning gray matter, recognize this for exactly what it is.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
It is nothing more and nothing less than a classic progressive dodge. We have to pass the bill so you can find out what is in it. Now, when Nancy Pelosi, tipsy Aunt Nancy, said those words, the bill was there. People were reading it. People were reading it and waving red flags. They were that kid in the back of the room, dancing on the edge of his chair with his hand in the air. Ooh, 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 ooh. And nobody was calling on them. There were people who were saying, this bill is bad for America. It was. Your insurance rates might have quadrupled. Mine did. And now, Joe Biden, this guy with a 47-year history of taking a wrong turn at every possible opportunity, this man of whom Barack Hussein Obama said could be always counted on to screw things up, this guy is telling you he does not want to talk about his position on packing the court. And his rationale is, well, that's all anybody will talk about if I tell you. Well, yeah. The fact that you're avoiding answering the question is making this a story. If he would just be honest. I'm sorry. Honest? No, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Joe Biden and the Democrats are not going to be honest with you. Never. They're going to tell you what they think you want to hear, and they're going to play the victim so that you'll feel compassion towards them. Oh, they're just trying to help people. Really? Who they're trying to help is themselves. And that's it. Now, in this back and forth, in this dance between the Democrats and the Republicans, we have the debates. And we know that the debate commission decided just to make the second debate a virtual debate, to let each of the candidates stand in front of a camera somewhere, and they just have a big old Zoom meeting. And the first thing President Trump said is, no, you're not going to do that. This has to be a live face-off. That's how the debates work. I will not participate in this. And there's good reason for that. Because if Joe Biden is not someplace in public, on a stage, in front of cameras and a room full of witnesses, he and his people will find ways to manipulate any way they can. We've already seen the pictures of some sort of earpiece in one of his ears. We've already seen photos of various things, wires and the like. There's already been a great deal of talk about him being prepared in ways that the president didn't have opportunities to. It was kind of obvious the other night on the vice presidential debate. There were a couple of instances, if you go back and watch the video, where it was fairly clear that Kamala Harris knew what the next question would be. How would she know what the next question would be unless she had seen the questions? So we know that the Democrats don't play by the rules because they can't win playing by the rules. And so allowing them to have that isolation and not be in front of a bunch of witnesses, and knowing that the debate commission is anti-Trump, the president wisely said, no, I will not participate in that, because he knows that that gives them the opportunity for more fraud. Well, both campaigns have agreed to push back this next in-person debate, and that came after the Commission on Presidential Debates announced it was planning to hold the second debate in a virtual format for health and safety reasons. In a statement released yesterday, the commission announced the second debate would take the form of a town meeting in which the candidates would participate from separate remote locations. However, President Trump quickly objected by stating he won't waste his time doing a virtual debate. He said, I heard the commission a little while ago change the debate style, and that's not acceptable. I'm not going to do a virtual debate. The Trump campaign has said voters need to see both candidates meet face-to-face a second time around as initially planned. Also, he also said they made the announcement and didn't consult. So the Trump campaign was not consulted about this. They weren't pulled into the discussion. It was just announced. Additionally, Trump campaign Bill Stapien has pointed out President Trump will have posted multiple negative COVID-19 tests prior to the next debate. In the meantime, the president has said he's recovering from coronavirus very well. He said, I walked in, I didn't feel good, and a short 24 hours later, I was feeling great. I want everybody to be given the same treatment as your president because I feel great. I played you that audio yesterday. The Biden campaign has since spoken out, agreeing to an October 22nd debate instead of the 15th. However, the third debate will not go on as planned. Biden's team does not want to reschedule. You know why? They know he's going to get destroyed in the second debate. They don't want to do a third. The Trump campaign has requested both debates be pushed back a week to allow all three events to proceed. In the meantime, the commission has yet to respond. We'll probably see today how this actually pans out, whether it's actually going to happen or not, the third one that is. We'll see. But don't hold your breath. As I said, the debate commission is anti-Trump. The Democrats are anti-Trump, and they don't want to play by the rules. They want to change the rules or just ignore the rules. So, as far as the debates are concerned, I wouldn't worry too much about it. Like I said the other day, I really don't think very many people in this particular election are going to base their decision on the debates. They have been watching for the past 4 years, and they know what Donald Trump is all about. They've seen his track record. They know he has kept his promises. And they know he will continue to keep his promises if he's reelected. They know that if he's reelected and then doesn't have to face another election because he won't be able to be reelected again, that he will most likely pull the gloves off. You thought he was playing rough before? After a second election, he won't care what people think. And he'll just work hard to get everything done he's promised to get done. It will be interesting. And the Democrats know this as well. And the Democrats are fighting as hard as they can to keep that from happening. They could just coast until after a second term and then work hard to win again. But they realize there won't be much to win if they do that. And it's time to jump back off into this final segment of the Friday Daily Perspective Podcast. I'm looking at stories I'm just not going to get to. I've got like four of them lined up right now. I have them open. I have tabs open, ready to jump into them. Just not going to happen. Let me touch on a couple of them really quickly before I get to one that I want to really pass along today. Today, Nancy Pelosi, depending on when you hear this, she may have already done it, supposed to have a press conference, supposed to talk about invoking the 25th Amendment, appointing a commission of people to examine the president to see if they believe that they can use the 25th Amendment to take him out. And as my wife Jane asked me last night, what's this all about? And I explained to her, just kind of in a nutshell, that the 25th Amendment provides for the replacement of the president, provided there are health issues, something like that. You know, if they're incapable of doing the job, then they can make the move to have the vice president step in and so forth. And that's really what it's about. It's really a provision which was made in honesty, because sometimes people have catastrophic illnesses. Sometimes things happen to prevent people from performing the duties they have been assigned to do. And you have to have provisions for that. That's what this is for. In the hands of the Democrats, it's an opportunity to undermine our system of government. And that is what Nancy Pelosi is going to try to do today. And let's see. She also said there will be no standalone stimulus bill. In other words, she doesn't want to give you a $1,200 check to help you make it any further. Not unless she can give trillions of dollars to Democrat cities and Democrat states to help them rebuild after making horrible decisions during the riots. That's what that boils down to. In the show notes today, I'll include the links to all these stories. There's an article by Wayne Dupree about Michelle Obama's message to black people. It's an incredible article. I don't want you to miss out on it, so I'll include that today. Also, there's an examination of Kamala Harris's statement about Abraham Lincoln in the debate the other night, where she went back and did her little history lesson. She lied. I'll just put it that way. See why by checking today's show notes at dailyperspectivepodcast.com. And I will try to get my feeble brain to remember to post that to social media today as well, so you'll have that link there, okay? Now, finally, in the last, 8 minutes or so here, if there was any doubt before, documents declassified Tuesday by the head of the country's intelligence services made it official. The plot to Donald Trump's bid to torpedo his bid for the presidency of the United States and the investigations that plagued his administration from before it even began stretched right into Barack Obama's Oval Office 4 years ago and right into the current presidential campaign. That's the unavoidable conclusion from handwritten notes made public by Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe Tuesday. And even if the mainstream media does its best to ignore this news, the truth is coming out. As conservative commentator and author Mark Levin, I like to call him the Angry Yankee, as he put it, this is big. According to Fox News, the notes were taken in 2016 by then CIA Director John Brennan, the swampiest of the anti-Trump swamp creatures, after a meeting with Obama where Brennan briefed the president on then-Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton's plan to tie Trump to a Russian intelligence operation. Quote, we're getting additional insight into Russian activities from, and that's redacted, the Brennan's notes state. Moving forward, summarizing alleged approved by Hillary Clinton a proposal from one of her foreign policy advisors to vilify Donald Trump by stirring up a scandal claiming interference by the Russian security service. The notes contain the date on 28 of July. According to Fox, Obama's response was redacted. President Donald Trump's sweeping order Tuesday that authorized the release of all documents related to the Russia collusion investigation, known inside the FBI as Crossfire Hurricane, without redactions, could supply the smoking gun of Obama involvement. But Brennan's notes alone are enough to show Obama was well aware of the sabotage the Clinton campaign was already crafting for Trump. As a memo last week reported by Fox indicated, the Trump collusion narrative was deliberately invented by the Clinton campaign as a means of distracting the public from her use of a private email server. Seriously, it was Hillary's desperation to avoid responsibility for her own illegal behavior that plunged her country into years of turmoil. As the 2020 vote on Trump's re-election approaches, it's vital that the country as a whole knows what Democratic conspirators in Washington have known for years, that the relentless attempts to handicap Trump that started months before a single vote was cast in the general election had the knowledge and likely the blessing of the president who preceded him. The fact that Joe Biden, the man currently challenging Trump for the presidency, has built his campaign on his close working relationship with Obama shows just how desperate that cabal is to regain control of the country, and how vital it is that that be prevented by Trump supporters. As one intelligence agent told Breitbart, the American people deserve to see how the Obama-Biden White House and their appointees at DOJ and CIA politicized our work, because many of them are trying to regain power now. We just want to keep the American people safe. It's what we spend every waking hour focusing on. We don't want to go back to our important work being abused as a political weapon for the Democrats. There's really no way to overstate the importance of what happened during the election of 2016 and during the special counsel's Russia collusion probe that plagued 2 years of the Trump presidency and is still making news today. In an interview published by Politico over the weekend, Andrew Weissman, the closest aide of the former special counsel, Robert Mueller, was still using allegations about Russia to smear Trump. And now there's really no way for Democrats to claim Obama was not implicated in it, and no way to avoid concluding the man Democrats are backing to be the next president of the United States was not just as involved. In a Twitter post Tuesday, Catherine Herridge of CBS News, who has long been one of the sharpest journalists covering the story behind the Russia collusion scam, noted that the date Brennan cited in his notes was July 28th, only days before the FBI investigation into Trump-Russia collusion was opened. One of Herridge's followers noted something else about that date. The fact that all of this is coming to light right now, and more will be coming as the effects of Trump's no redactions order take effect, start to be felt, means the American people will have a chance just before the November election to see what was happening behind the scenes. There's never been a doubt that the Hillary Clinton Democrats and the rotten vestiges of the Obama administration conspired to cripple, if they could, the Trump presidency. That what American voters need to remember is what Trump accomplished, despite those attempts. He's the president whose tax cuts set the stage for a roaring economy even COVID-19 can't kill, who remade crucial trade relationships, destroyed the savages of the Islamic State group, changed the framework for peace in the Middle East, and successfully confronted the murderous mullahs of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the country coddled during the Obama-Biden years. That's just to name the most obvious. A second term of that kind of performance is what the country needs. A restoration of a Soviet-like Democratic Party, the same malicious apparatchiks who've conspired to hold on to power since 2017 despite the will of the American electorate, would be a step toward tyranny no freedom-loving country can afford. The mainstream media will do its best to downplay the importance of Tuesday's revelations and those that are coming in the future. But every American needs to understand what they mean and what's really on the ballot on November 3rd. This is coming from HermanCain.com. It's an awesome story, and it's absolutely spot on target. What's at stake November 3rd literally is, it literally is liberty or socialism. The deep state, the insiders, we now know, and we'll know more about in the very near future, we're plotting. Hillary Clinton was plotting that Barack Obama knew and was involved in the plotting. Joe Biden, the vice president, knew. All of these people were complicit in an underground effort to destroy the potential of Donald Trump becoming president of the United States. And they have held on to Russia ever since. It keeps coming up even today. They keep talking about Russia being involved in things. And every time you hear anyone in the news media or on the left and some on the right talking about Russia and linking Donald Trump to Russia, you can know that every bit of it is a fabrication. It's a lie. And that's it. That's all for this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Have a great weekend. Unplug, relax, clear out your head, and let's get back together on Monday for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. God bless you. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Take the next 2 days off. How's that?